Hi, this is Mike Wells from the UK. I'm based in the northwest coast of the United Kingdom. I've been involved in hypnosis, hypnotherapy, psychotherapy for approximately 32 years now. And it's over 2 years ago I got involved with PS Tech. Since that, it's revolutionized the way that I do my work. It's made it faster, easier, and more effective. And about a month after I was got involved with PS Tech, I started working with a local school, and that's working with the children, predominantly with the children. They range from 11 years to 18 years. It's quite a large school, 1,100 pupils, and probably up towards 100 people, staff, support staff and so on, within the school. And I've recorded this MP3 to give you an insight into my work within the school, how I approach the school, pitfalls really what to watch out for within schools, because there is a certain protocol within the United Kingdom that you must adhere to. It's been a fascinating journey, and it's going to continue. It's developing into many areas, increasing my work now. My income has substantially increased due to my working within the school. Later, I will give you a few case histories, how I worked with PS Tech, and the outcome. And I use nothing else but PS Tech within the school. Probably the first thing to be aware of is the protocol behind schools and what you will require before you can even approach a school. And the first thing is you need a CRB check. That's a Criminal Records Bureau. That can be done online, or mine was done via the school. And also, you will need an up-to-date public liability insurance. When I was contracted with the school, I come under their umbrella and was under their public liability, but I still owned an independent one. And it's advisable that you cannot work without that, really. I think mine covers me for about 10 million, and it covers almost every eventuality. So really, it just explained how this come about and how I approached the school and got more involved. In the first instance, it was quite simple because I approached the school and I had a short appointment with the deputy head. I'd arranged that prior. And it was, I think, a 15-minute appointment. And I went through my work over the years, and now working with PS Tech, and I felt it would help children with exam nerves, basic stuff, fears, phobias, insecurities, stuff like that. And the deputy head was quite impressed, and she explained to me that they had an outside company come in previous years and been using NLP with very little success. So she was a little bit sceptical, but open-minded enough to come and see me privately, as she put it, to take a dose of the own medicine. And she had a fear of snakes. So she experienced PS Tech with the click tracks, and she was very, very surprised at the end how it had affected her, how she no longer could connect to the feelings and so on. And that was really the opening. She then arranged a meeting for me to go into school and present to the headmaster. And what I did was I got the IT from school to the room that we were using. There's a big whiteboard, and I got them projector video of the PS Tech video from my computer onto the whiteboard. That was all set up by the technicians at school, and all I had to do was to go in and present it. When I went in, I was a little bit taken aback, because there wasn't only just the headmaster, there was the deputy head, the assistant deputy heads, and also parts of other areas of the school. So I did an introduction. I explained who I was, what I'd been doing over the years, and how PS Tech could change and would change the ways, or what it had done in the way I now apply therapy. And I played the video and then asked for open-ended questions. It's a little bit, for people familiar with the UK, it was a little bit like being in the dragon's den. You know, I'm sat in front of all the dragons. And it was quite funny. There was lots and lots of questions come back, which I was able to answer. And any question I couldn't, I just was honest. I said, well, that I can't answer at the moment. And what was quite intriguing was the amount of questions that were asked. A lot was to do with anger. A lot was to do with exam nerves, predominantly exam nerves, because a lot of children were experiencing exam nerves. So obviously I talked about that, and I think I was probably there about 30, 40 minutes. I was asked to leave the room and just to go outside while they discussed it. And I think it was within 10 minutes I was invited back in, and they were going to take me on board. I did offer my services. This was part of my pitch, was I would come into the school 2 mornings a week for a month, totally free of charge. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do that, but I did that, and I did it for 2 reasons. One, I wanted to get to know the school, how it worked, the protocol behind everything, and I've met so many lovely people within that school to present date, and it's all part of an ongoing support system that I very much adapted to and adhered to and got more involved with. I personally know most of the teachers now, all the people working with children with learning disabilities, emotional difficulties, and so on. And I went in for 2 mornings just simply to meet people and just to get the feel of the school. And what amazed me was the size of it and how many different areas there is within schools. I wasn't aware of this prior to going in. I did spend quite a lot of time sitting with the teachers and support staff who work with ADHD, certain emotional issues, and so on. And they were willing to give a full report of the pupils or the children they were going to recommend to me. Before I work with any child, once I've got the referral, got an outline of their background, whatever issue it's coming from, a letter is sent out to parents or carers, and it outlines the work I do within the school. And parents have to sign an authorised permission for me to work one-to-one with that child. I think it's very important that you do this. And it also it lets parents know and become aware of that they're getting support from the school. As time progressed and I got more involved with it, then I started to work more in depth into certain areas and getting referrals. And as time went along, I was then seeing teachers, I was seeing support staff. So it wasn't just children. It was a full holistic approach to anyone working within the school, experience various areas, stress or so on. The one thing that I was taught very, very quickly, that within schools, even though as a therapist I work under the strictest of confidentiality, and with children, especially if there was issues of bullying, physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, then I would have to come under protocol where that would have to report it either to the head, deputy head, or another lady in school who was working mainly with the child protection issues. You come under that remit of child protection. And it's very important to understand this. And when I meet a child for the first time, I explain about the confidentiality. While they're in the room with me and that door's closed, it's extremely confidential. But should something arise where the child protection would have to be involved, then I obtain their permission to do so. And it has happened quite a few times. And when it does happen, I'll explain later, I go with the child after the session to the child protection officer, confidential meeting, and then it's really put into their hands. I continue my therapy as normal for any issues where it could be child services get involved and various other areas. We even had it to where the police were involved. But certainly don't let that put you off, because it's a procedure that you've got to adhere to, and when you understand it, it's very, very simple to follow. One thing that I found quite amazing after I'd had the meeting at school and done my presentation, and I was invited back in, I think there's probably 8 to 10 people there, as high as 6 people asked me, took me to one side, would it help on this? Would it help on that? Will it work on this? So automatically there was enough curiosity. The other important factor, whether you're a therapist or non-therapist, you've really got to get to the understanding of PSTech with the use of the click tracks, also with the positive tracks, things like the accelerator and the ongoing support. And I've probably spent now 2.5 years really coming to grips with PSTech and to understanding the programs fully. And in doing so, you apply them much easier. But one of the things that I find very, very important in my work within school is how I approach children, because they are children, you've never to forget that. And it's how to communicate with them, how to get the answers that you require to help them within the work. Now, the school gave me a lovely room, and in that room there was tables and chairs. So I arranged it, especially when I'm there for my sessions, to where I just have one table and two chairs, both on the same side. I don't want to have a child sat opposite me. I want the child to sit on the same side as where I am. And I obtained permission from school, because again of their protocol where they call everyone sir or miss, that I had permission for them to call me by my first name. I mean, that goes without saying, it gives the child confidence, and we're on first name basis, and obviously I want to make a friend as quickly as I can with this child. Now, another thing that I learned during the time is, especially when I'm given reports, I can read the report. It may be an anger issue, a behavioural issue, whatever. It could be a truant situation, it could be a fear of PE, it could be a multitude of areas. And the thing that I tended to do was to go through it, but never take it as read. The child's got the answers that I need to get to work with, especially with the click tracks. And that's where the journey started with me. I remember the first young boy that come in. If you've seen the film Oliver, he reminded me so much of not the Oliver one, what's the one I'm trying to think of now? Or the Artful Dodger. A cheeky little granny come in, is full of energy, and the first thing he said to me is, "Am I in trouble, sir?" Well, we both smiled and said, "No, you're certainly not. Come and sit down. I'm Mike." Handshake, and he sat down with me. And by this time, he's looking extremely curious. I'll explain the case history with him later in this MP3. But really, it's not to take things for granted, because I assume the children knew who I was. They had no idea. And they were being pulled out of class to come and see Mike Wells. And they thought they were in trouble. Quite a high percentage. What have I done now, sir? I'm in trouble. So I wanted to alleviate that and get rid of it straight away. Now, in the school I work, it's quite a large reception, and each morning, two young first years help and assist, and they're called runners. Now, reception has all the timetables of every single child, all the information she has on the computer. So if I was seeing Sarah, she would find the form she's in. She would see what her plan was for the rest of the day, so I'm not interrupting any exams or any things that are going on that are very important. And should I be able to go for her then she will put a little note, "Can Sarah go to the meeting room to meet Mike Wells?" Now, one of the runners, or both runners, would go, hand that note to the teacher, so it's kept very confidential. That child is dismissed and comes to see me. I personally do not go into classes, even though most people know now within the school who I am and what I do. But I think it's embarrassing for the child to go in front of a teacher and in front of a classroom and to have that child called out. So it's a simple procedure, and it's one that works very, very effective for me. There's another area that's become more apparent, especially here in the UK. Now, I don't know how that would work in Europe or America, Canada, etc. But because of government cutbacks, schools are being put under massive pressure. There has been redundancies within this school. Budgets have been cut dramatically. So the schools are doing the best they can to bring in the teachings and bring in the cover. And at times they just simply don't have that cover. So it's an ongoing issue. There's a lot of stress within teachers. It's very, very high at the moment. And I would think in the last 4 or 5 months I have been seeing more teachers than I have been seeing pupils. And it also has a knock-on effect right through to cleaning staff, to people working in the kitchen, which I've got an open-ended book to, you know, anybody needs to come and see me, then it's arranged within the time I'm working in that school. And I think at the last count I had 18 on my list. So there is a vast amount of work within a school. Now, I work Tuesdays and Thursdays. And within that time, I can possibly see anywhere from 4 to 7 students, depending on the work I'm doing, and obviously the amount of time involved. Another area to be aware of is changing of classes. As a bell goes within the school, and they change from one class to the other, and it can be quite noisy. And it's a little bit like a cattle stampede. Do not get caught in that rush. So I use a headset when I'm doing my work with the click tracks, which I'll come on to now. In the room I use, I've had Reaper Graphics at school do me a sign. If this sign is displayed, do not enter this room under any circumstance. So that's on the door. So if anybody else was to come up and not knowing that the meeting room was being used, then they certainly wouldn't enter once that sign's displayed. And within the room, as I said, I have the table there, I have my laptop, and I use a wireless headset system. And the reason I use this is while I'm playing the click tracks, the pupil or the person doing the tracks listen to it via the headset. It drowns out all the background noise, because it can be quite noisy at times. And initially when I started, I very quickly got onto a system to where, you know, we could take out that background noise. As little distractions as possible. The one that I use is a Philips. It's got 2 headsets, so I always have the headset on, and I listen with the child or with the adult as I'm doing the click tracks. That helps me see where they are in the program, and also I can see how effective the tapping is, if they're getting confused, if they're keeping up and following suggestions on the tracks. So what do I do when I first meet a child? Well, the first thing you've got to do, and if you've got any sense about you, you give the biggest smile ever and welcome them in. And I normally use a little bit of humour and say, come in, don't look so worried, you know, you're not in trouble. And then they'll come and sit down, and I've got their first name, I've got information about them. Then I start to tell them who I am and what I do. And very quickly we get down to, where can I help you? What sort of things can I help you with? I believe you've got a problem with anger, is that correct? So I use a few open phrase statements to see what sort of response I get. Once a brief outline, I hand them a piece of paper and to write down everything that I could possibly help with them, and I give them about 10 minutes. Sometimes you will get, well, what do you want me to write, Mike? I said, no, what is it that you would like me to help you with? Simple suggestions like that, and leave them to it. They're familiar with writing things down anyway. And once I've done that, I look at the list, and sometimes you might just get one area, sometimes you might get 3 or 4. And if I do get 3 or 4, I ask them to write down from 0 to 10 how strong that emotion is or what the feeling is, 0 being the lowest, 10 being the worst. And I get them to write a number next to each thing they've put down. Once I've done that, I ask them why and get more into my questioning. Try to make it as easy and as gentle as possible. But working with children, what I do love is they haven't as many layers as adults. And once they have that confidentiality issue explained to them, they're very open. I also suggest that they use whatever language they want. And trust me, they do sometimes. If they want to display anger, please do. Just let me know exactly what's going on within your mind. But I also tell them once they've left that room, then they must go back and not to use certain language that they may have used with me. Quite a few years ago, well, a lot of years ago now, I was trained by Xerox on certain selling skills, and I still use these areas today in my questioning. And what I like to do initially in my interview is imagine a spotlight on the ceiling between myself and whoever sat across from me. And my objective, my aim, is when I'm talking, that spotlight is on me. When the child or the adult is talking, the spotlight is on them. Now, I want to keep that spotlight on them as much as possible. And it could be a simple opening statement like so. Do you get angry? Because they've written it down on the list, you can see that. And the answer comes back, yes. Then a simple statement like, right, tell me everything about your anger. So put the spotlight back on them and be quiet Let them go through it all. Do not interrupt. And sometimes I think I've heard Tim use this, that magic word, why. They may come back with something, give an explanation, and I say, why do you feel like that? And I tend to use the word feel rather than the word think. If you ask a person to feel about something, you get a total emotional response. You get a more subconscious response. And I encourage them to go in as much detail as I possibly can. And there will come a time when you've sufficient information to start work. So then the spotlight's going to be on me. I explain about the audio they're going to be listening to. I even get them to practice tapping, and I mimic what they might what they're going to hear. So I'm familiar that they can tap to a certain tone with the right hand, a certain tone with the left hand, and to tap rapidly with both hands. So I let them practice it first. And then I go more into it on what they need to do, what they listen to. And it's a simple thing. Get their headset on and let's get cracking. I also tell them that I'm listening and that I'm going to be filling my notes out while they're listening to them. Now, I never, ever fill any notes. And the reason I stopped doing this is quite a few children have said to me when I start to write down and when I'm getting answers and results, they say, what are you writing, sir? What are you writing? Mike, what are you doing? So I no longer do that now. But I explain to them, before they go on the click tracks, I will catch up on my notes. Is that okay with you? Simple statement. Once they say yes, that's it. And I also use, especially when we're getting a link on the feelings and the emotions and on the numbers. Let's say, for example, it's anger. So we look at the areas and we look at the anger that they're feeling. And when I get a very high number and I get the emotions and I can get the memories, I always try to go back as far as I can and ask them to think of something from earlier childhood, maybe infant school, that they felt the same. And very, very often, I do get the trigger. I can remember being that in infant school when the teacher did this and teacher that. So it's a good trigger point. So once I've got that area, then I'm going to be starting work, possibly on the earlier one, if it's similar. If not, it doesn't matter. You go on the one that we're using right now. I can remember a young lady that came to see me, a young girl, and when I suggested or I told her that she would have to close her eyes, panic set in. She is not going to close her eyes. She could not do that. She was a very nervous child. She was also quite aggressive in her reactions. And she's been pulled from pillar to post over the years from a child, which I've been briefed on from social services and so on. And there's no way she's going to close her eyes. And I remember speaking to Tim about this. And I actually got her eventually, after about 3 meetings, to do it with her eyes open, just looking down towards a lap. And again, this is another one I'll talk about later, because I picked up on it very quickly. Why would she not want to close the eyes? What's the insecurity there? And so on. So it'd be quite amazing what come out of this, and how I had to work within child protection areas within the school. So I've done my questioning, I've sat down, and by this time I'm usually making a friend, and the person at the other side has now got my trust, and vice versa. So they're opening up more, and a good counsellor, a good professionalist, a good hypnotherapist will ask loads and loads of questions. I want to know every detail, and I'll probably do 15-20 minutes of this. And then have sufficient knowledge to, like I said, to take forward into the click tracks. I do use a statement that I've used many, many times, and this was I learned from Brian Tracy. If I could, would you? So once I've done all my questioning, once I've gone more into detail and we've got the areas or the links to work on, I simply say to the person sat across from me, now if I could show you a way right now, that's going to reduce from that number right down, and we're going to do this until we get down to zero, would you be willing to get totally involved and to follow instructions? And once they say yes, they're committed. It's as simple as that. Get on with your work. Oh, and just before I forget, going back to when I first started going into school, where I spent a couple of mornings just familiarising myself with people, names, what they did within the school, I did see and witness some of the work that was being done. And it's of my opinion, I'm going to be very direct on this. I listened to two people in two classes for child behaviour, and it's my opinion all they were doing was compounding the issues. So, a bit outspoken, but that's what I saw, and to this day I will stand by that. And this goes on a lot. Nobody is actually dealing with the subconscious. So that was a good point to remember. But I've also become good friends with these people, and they're quite fascinated by my work on how I get results so quickly for that particular child, to where they might be time for 2-3 years and getting nowhere. So forgive me for saying that. Any other professionals? It is my view. It's a very strong view. And I think it's just recently come through an interview about the teachers with the bullying aspect as well. Again, I was quite surprised at how many, I think the word the lady used was this holier than thou. And I've been working with a teacher who is now on the third session, and it was very, very much insecurity from a very early time in childhood that's created this symptom of the bullying with children. So that's been corrected, and this particular person now is just loving working with the kids. Even the children have said, what a difference. They have no idea what's been going on behind the scenes, but it just shows you what can go on in school. Unfortunately, there's some of the old school there, and the discipline really needs to be looked at and needs to be addressed. So let's get back to the a couple of cases. Is the Artful Dodger, remember him? Such a lovely young boy, a little tiny ponytail on the back, and he's got this biggest grin when he come in. And when I was talking to him and he'd done the list, the main reason I was seeing him because of truant. He was truanting, he was nipping off from school, and when I did a check with the attendance officer, it tended to be on a Tuesday afternoon and a Friday morning. And I thought, I wonder what is there within the school that's preventing him? What is it, a fear? Is it a phobia? And while I was talking to him, he said that he was petrified about English, doing the English work, English literature. So I asked and got the explanation of everything that was going on. And he was a little bit slow, and this had started a year prior. And he just was so embarrassed to ask for help. And as he was trying to catch up, he was a left-hander, and his writing was quite slow. So he's listening to questions, and by the time he's written it down, the form all further on, and he was getting further and further behind, and it started off and triggered off an anxiety, a fear. And the times that he wasn't coming into school where he was playing truant was the same times that he had this particular class in the English block. So there's the connection. And when I spoke to him, he was very, very open that similar happened within primary school. So there's a good trigger point. And I got a very similar feeling. He was projecting a 9 on the scale of the anxiety levels on both memories. So I went to the earlier memory, treating that as the trigger. After the click track, it was 0. I played the normal 11-minute one. And when he opened his eyes, I think the words he used was, wow, that's wicked. A bit of a laugh. And the anxiety had completely gone. But there's a twofold here. He's still behind in school. So I worked using the positives against the belief that he had of what would happen in the classroom. But I've got to change that belief. So I went to see about getting a support worker to help him initially within the class. So we've been neutralizing the emotions down. He's now not got the fear, but there's a great danger that it can be put back again should he experience it again. And what the school did was put a support teacher in who was an expert on English to sit with him for about 4 or 5 weekly sessions. And he caught up very, very fast. And now I think it's either a year, 2 years later, probably 2 years, he's one of the top set in the school. When I saw him as a follow-up about a month later, he's adapted the same principle in his own mind to science, to maths, and he's thoroughly enjoying school now. So it was a twofold. I got someone in to give the support, to work with and take him forward on to the positive part. And the school are absolutely excellent at doing this. I think I saw him a couple of times after that, and I always try to keep him in with my pupils, in with my students, and have a follow-up whenever I can. Absolutely fine. His attendance that I checked with the attendance officer has been absolutely perfect since. So there's a classic case for the PS Tech and for the click tracks. I do now, and I've varied my work. If I get anyone that's higher than 5, I prefer now using the EEF. If it's below 5, then I just use the standard click track, but that's just my way, and I like to work because I love the way the EEF works with the enhanced efficiency and the different ways and suggestions there, and it really, really neutralizes right down. Sometimes I do get a slight movement from maybe a 10 down to a 6, but that's very, very rare, and then I'll just replay using the EEF until it's down to neutral, and then spend the rest of the session applying the positives. And when I work with the positives, especially with the children, and I've learnt this over my 2 years being there, rather than me write down a suggestion, we work together. I explain what we're looking for, and I give a few examples, and they write it down. I get them to write it down, and then we may have a list of 8, 10, 12, and I ask the child to look at it and say, which one do you feel would work the best for you? So the rewritten, oh, that one, definitely, that one. Well, that's the one I'm going to use. So I'll do 2 sessions on that and really, really enforce it. I suppose there's another area that I could talk about now and to what I've learnt in the 2 years is some of the children come from very difficult backgrounds. And I've had situations where mum's been a heroin addict, father's been an abusive alcoholic and so on, and they've been put into care either with other family members or with outside foster care. And one of the dangers that you've got to be careful of is you can neutralize all these feelings down, you can really support that child, but when they're going back to the same thing, the same area, there is a chance it could be repeated over and over again and start a new program going. And during this time, especially working with my wife, who works with children of this type within a school, it's become apparent that I should also be working with the parents. Now, the school have backed this wholeheartedly, and they allow parents to come in and work. I work with the full holistic approach now. So sometimes it's pointless just helping a child neutralize everything down if they're going to go back and still get sexual abuse, verbal abuse, whatever it is. That needs to be addressed and also, and that is going extremely well at the moment. It's starting to develop another area within the school with a full holistic approach. And it's not just me doing it, there's other people getting involved behind the scenes, helping, especially if a dad's an alcoholic, getting him help that way and so on and so on. So this is what we're finding now. It's working a full holistic approach, which is quite exciting for the future. Also, with me working within school and working with other areas, one particular girl, I'll explain about her now. She came to see me very, very emotional, very high stress level. And her mum, 2 years ago, started with agoraphobia, claustrophobia, and her mum's life changed completely. So we worked on the emotion of the child, and then I asked for mum to come in to see me. And mum come in, and the school are funding all this, and I worked with mum. We spent about an hour and a half. We talked about all the feelings, what she was experiencing, and it was on the scale of 10 on 3 areas. So I worked on the first area, which was the fear of going out and things like that. And that particular evening, after she'd left me at school, she took her dogs out for a walk, and it was quite misty, and that fear had gone. On the next session, she found that she was able to go out in the car, that she was very relaxed, but when she went to a supermarket, especially when the doors opened and closed, she got a bit panicky and went back to the car. So I asked her to go of any other time earlier in her childhood where anything to do with doors or movement like that or reflections that she could think of. Now, I had played the accelerator prior, and she went to a memory of being 3-year-old, being locked in a cupboard by her father. And the father chastised her, and he kept opening and closing the door. So I worked on that memory, And this lady has only had two sessions, completely sorted. She's now come off all medication of her own choice. The doctor wants to see me and to find out how this therapy works so fast. She's now looking for work, and her husband, I think he said, I've got my wife back. This is brilliant. How the heck have you done that? So it just shows how effective the click traps can be. Now, I did use the EEFs there, and I did use quite a lot of the restructuring with the new extra power positives. I got the child to come back in, totally different child completely. She's now safe, secure, because mum's fine. So you can see the holistic approach there. The child was concerned, it was triggered off because of mum's emotions, and mum was handing the emotions to the child. So there we got that little circle that we completely resolved. Within my early days at the school, I had a referral to meet this young boy. I'm going to call him Harry. And Harry come to see me, very, very subdued little boy, very gentle spoken, quite large boy, quite a lot of excess weight, and he couldn't get eye contact. And it was quite a difficult session getting to open up with a little bit of emotion come out. And he was classed as ADHD and learning difficulties and things like that. But I started to build up a lovely, lovely relation with him, a relationship with him, and just through suggestion and chatting to him. And I didn't get time to go into the click tracks as I would like to have done. So that was going to be held for my next session. And he left the room smiling and looking forward to seeing me again. And as he left, he said, I'll see you on Friday, Mike. I said, yeah, fine, you know. Anyway, on the Friday come, he come in, and he's a little bit tearful. And I go, whoa, what's going on here? So he sat down, and he was finding it difficult to look up and speak to me. So eventually, we got into talking. I said, what's going on? What are you feeling? He said, I've done something. I've been really naughty. I said, okay, would you like to tell me about it? And he shook his head and put his head back down. So I said, look, I said, would you like to write it down on a piece of paper? Then you don't have to tell me. And he looked up and he took the piece of paper and he wrote something down, and I asked him to fold the piece of paper up and to pass it to me. Then I asked his permission to read what was on the paper, and he nodded his head. And when I held the piece of paper and read it, it just simply said, I tried to hang myself last night. Well, that gave me quite a shock. Because he'd done that, and because he'd given me permission to read the note, I am now in a position to speak to him. And of course, his warning bell's going off. I wasn't aware if anyone else knew. I'm automatically thinking I need to do what I can here, and I need to go and see the child safety officer within the school. Does mum know? Does dad know? Whatever. So I just asked him to come with me. We went to see the deputy head, who in turn went to see the child protection officer, had a private meeting, but it was knowledge mum was already letting people know about it. So I'd done my side of the protocol that was needed. I then went back to the room with him, and by then he is, you know, the emotion, he'd been crying a bit, and we've got him now, so I've got to really get involved and use the click tracks. I think I was probably there about 2 hours with him, and he taught me about something that triggered this. He was on the stairs listening to his parents arguing. Now, there was drink involved. I don't know whether both parents had been drinking, but it was a slanging match going on, and this child was listening to everything. And one of the statements that come out really, really upset him. And I'm not going to repeat it here because of the language involved, but it was more or less about the child that shouldn't be there, that shouldn't be alive. And he went upstairs and tried to hang himself because of that statement. And then I found out that this had gone on for quite a long time. The father was diabetic, shouldn't have been drinking. There was an element of drugs involved on top of alcohol. And from an early age, this young boy, Harry, had witnessed it all. So we got the emotions on a 10. And there were three areas that I worked on, and I didn't come out of that room with him until we'd neutralised it right down. We went back to the head again just to say that I completed my work, and it was a situation where he's going to be monitored closely by staff and things like that. They were now aware of the situation. That was a long time ago now. I think it's well over a year ago. Since that particular day, his life has changed. Support was given to the family behind the scene. I met Mum and I met Dad, and I did work with both parties. A lot of work involved on both angles and utilised down. The relationship now between son and Mum and Dad is second to none. There's been no incident, no fallouts, no angers, no nothing since that day. So I'm really pleased about that. And that was the power of PS Tech. There's no way I could have done that with my previous analytical work using hypnosis, psychotherapy. It would have taken a lot of weeks. It was nailed quickly, effectively, then worked behind the scene with the parents, and to this day, absolutely amazing. There's the power of PS Tech once again. Now, there's been many, many writings. As I've been going forward with the PS Tech, I'm getting more involved at school now with the magic sentences that Tim designed, and they're amazing at times, the ones on the anger, the anxiety, and Sally Baker's fantastic recordings, same lines on other areas. And you've got so many things coming back now about PS Tech from people who've been working with it for a while, who are now getting more and more involved in it, like myself. I mean, I can wholeheartedly say I'm totally PS Tech. It's revolutionised the way I do therapy. It's made it simpler, it's made it faster, and very, very effective. This is the recent interview with Carol. Is it Carol Raffaele? I can't remember the surname. Talking about bullying, who's working with school. Brilliant work, absolutely brilliant work. We need more feedback from people like myself and other people working there. But don't be frightened of going to school. They're lovely people. And I think it was Tim that said this. He was a little known therapist, blah, 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 doing all this work. I was similar. And since I've been involved in PS Tech, I'm now working 2 days a week in school. I've got private work coming through, referrals from other people at school. I'm quite amazed at how many people, especially when I've been working with teachers, I pass my cards over to other family members who are now coming to see me, and it started a catalytic effect. I'm busier now than I've ever been in my history of hypnosis, hypnotherapy, and so on. And that's because of PS Tech. You do need all the files, of course you do. You need to get stuck in and listen. And approaching the school, that's simple. The people, go and talk to them. Be proud of what you do. Be enthusiastic. Get stuck in. I suppose the future is that, was just seen it recently. Every school should have one. Of course they should. So the future is going to be teaching other people in school and packaged together so we can get totally into education. And imagine a child totally free of anxiety, any subconscious repression to do with fears, phobias. Going forward in life, wow, they'll turn out to be some of the nicest children or adults you will ever meet. So just to recap, very simply, go and speak to the school. Simple as that. Go and tell them who you are. Arrange a meeting. Give a demo. Play one of the videos via a whiteboard like I did. All schools have these facilities. They have IT technicians there that will set it up for you. It's entirely up to you whether you want to go in initially and do some work for nothing like I did. And how can they refuse that if it's free? But I had an agreement that once I'd showed the effectiveness, then would they take me on board for two days a week? And the answer was yes. They want to see it work. And they will send you some difficult cases to start with. So be it. The harder the better. And within school, I have met so many nice people. I thoroughly enjoy working within the school. And it's my ambition to remain there and increase and help other people that are going to be working in schools. Drop me a line. I can speak to you on Skype and give you some pointers and feeders. I've got a fantastic letter of referral from the deputy head of this particular school. She has given permission for you to have copies of that and to show it to other schools. And if the other school would like to ring and speak to this lady direct, she will speak to them and she'll tell them about the power and the effectiveness of PS Tech. Now that's one strong tool you can have in your armoury then. So please use it. Okay, let's come back to a little bit of when I first got involved. There was a young lady come to see me who's possibly very academically superb. She was, I think it was the top three of the full school of 1,100 people. She was in the top three. But when it came to exams, she panicked, and her mind went blank. Now, when I met this young lady, it wasn't the fear of the exams that we found out fairly quickly through questioning. It was the fear of failure. Her brother had gone through schooling, become a doctor. Her sister become a high-paid professional in some kind of nursing or tutoring of nursing. And she was more concerned about that subconsciously than she was about anything else. So rather than work on the actual fear of the exam, it was the fear of failure that I worked on. She was, I think it was 8 or 9 on the scale, and it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 2:30 she was taking the exam. So we neutralised it down with the EEF, and it was one session, and it just got it right down to zero very quickly. At the end of it, she said she had the most amazing feeling of lightness and calmness and a little bit floaty. And I remember what Jeff Harding said: when that happens, let them sit. Let them get used to that feeling. Just let it work. Sometimes it takes a little bit for the mind to settle to it, which I did. And we talked a little bit at the end of it. So I thought, right, if she's got the exam this afternoon, we've neutralized down the emotion. Let's bring in the positives. And I actually had her there, and she was a lovely girl, very smiley, lots of energy. And with the positives, she was really saying it loud and really forcing it out. And then we did the eyes open and close one, and we had it written down on a lap, and that was it. She left, and she went for the exam. She had no anxieties whatsoever. And she come back to me 2 days later. She answered every question. She's obviously waiting for the results. She sat in the middle of the room, which would have normally concerned her. She went in, she was able to focus on the questions and answer them, and she had no anxiety whatsoever. When she got the results, she passed out at A, so she was highly delighted. So another area within the school that, you know, a lot of children do get exam nerves. I suppose I could go on and on and on about some of the children, some of the adults I've seen. But to finish off with, one was a cover supervisor who was just pulling her hair out. She's got the classroom from hell. The kids were so unruly, she couldn't control them. And she was in a high state of emotion, lots of tears, wanting to resign from school. She couldn't handle it anymore. And when I met her and started chatting to her, she had a little bit similar issues in her own family with stepchildren. And when they come, they're unruly. And then we started to work backwards, and we found the connection. And we worked with the PSTAC, we worked with the Click Tracks. We did 2 sessions. We neutralized everything we could find. We couldn't find any more. Brought in the positives. And I also let her listen to Jeff Harding's recording, Stress in the Moment. She now sails through classes. She's now got control, and she feels amazing. She said she would never have thought anything was possible to help her. So there you go. That's another one. And hopefully that lady is sending me a letter soon. And that's another thing to do. Get people to write down what they felt like before, what they felt like after. Get it on your website. Get as many referrals as you can. The final one is a mother and daughter. And this was an extremely serious issue that came up via child protection, and it was to do with incest. Father is no longer here. He died a few years ago. But he was abusing the mum, or his daughter. And the mum was at a wit's end, because she'd found out before his death that he was doing it to her daughter. So it's granddad doing it to daughter, and dad doing it to mum. Lots and lots of emotion. The younger child, I think she's 15, was self-harming, cutting her legs with a blade. And got working with it very, very quickly with the Click Tracks. After the first session, the mum had never felt as much release ever. She was a 10 on the scale to start with. It zeroed out very quickly, and she was just so emotionally overwhelmed by how she felt at the end of it. Then I worked with the daughter, a little bit of subconscious resistance, two or three click tracking sessions, got it down to zero. She stopped self-harming. There's no issues now between Mum. In fact, Mum has lost a lot of weight because of the emotional link through years and years of abuse from her own father, who in turn did it to her daughter. So it just another one. I don't think I went over three sessions. There was no need to. It was completely sorted. And even to this day, same thing. So there you go. That's the power of the click tracks. Get the files you need. Get the knowledge behind. Get out to schools if you want to. And I'm here at the end of a telephone or via email. My website is mwhypno.co.uk. You can get me through email there. All my personal information's there. A copy of the letter, maybe Tim can organise this with this MP3. But I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. But it is a good income from school. You arrange what you want to charge. And also, before I finish, what's come to the front now is because of all these cutbacks, government cutbacks, we've got a person involved. They're setting up something within the school, like a charity, and they can get outside funding from businesses for mentoring. So that's going to be paying my wages without coming out of school funds. Lots and lots of information there for you to look at. Okay, good luck, and thanks very much for listening. Bye for now.
As you've just heard, Mike has been able to be very, very successful indeed in therapy by using PS Tech, which is fast and very efficient, and to get regular paying work doing so. Not only that, but because of its reliability, he's done so in a context that no hypnotherapist could really hope for, working in a school, and he's been retained for 2 years now. Now, Mike's been very clear with me that his only tool is PS Tech. And for any therapist, I think this is fascinating information. The same or a similar approach could be used to get regular paying work in a school, if that's what you want to do, but also in other organisations alongside personnel departments. So the corporate world is open to you. The approach would be very, very similar. And Mike's explained very clearly exactly how he's gone about doing that. So huge opportunity is there for a regular paying wage doing what you love, helping people and really making a difference. It could be a school, it could be a business, or perhaps even working alongside something like a doctor's surgery. The same approach, the same routine could be used. Now Mike has shown you here how to get your foot in the door and how to bypass any objections. Mike studied the tools and my tutorials in depth, and I think that is really essential. Mike has told me himself that anyone can do this if they genuinely want to, and I know he is keen to see you working in schools too. Now, there are some special school versions of the click tracks and also the EEFs. Now, I recorded these without any kind of reference to the word hypnosis. If you listen to the normal standard free click tracks that I give away, or to the EEFs, you'll find that there's reference to the word hypnosis on the beginning of both of those tracks. I use it as an analogy, but in the context of something like a school, you don't want that word there at all. So, unlike the standard tracks, these make no mention of the word hypnosis. So there's versions of the click tracks and also the EEFs that make no mention of the word hypnosis. Now, PS Tech isn't hypnosis, it's very different. And like I said, that word is there in order to set some kind of context, but it's not needed. So for use in schools, you want special tracks which don't have that mentioned. And those tracks are pure PS Tech, so you can use them with impunity. And they are available for you to download. And I think we'll probably put them on the same page as this tutorial. Now, in the corporate world, you may also find those special tracks useful. One thing to be aware of, which Mike has asked me to mention, though, is corporate licenses. And hopefully, if you're a therapist, you've actually read the terms of use for PS Tech. If you haven't, then it would be a good idea to do so. You see, if you use PS Tech in such a setting, a school or a business, you will need to get a corporate license for using PS Tech in that context, if it's for more than 14 days, or if it's not for a trial period. Now, Mike has a corporate license which allows him to work in any school, and he got that from me. Now, this is all explained in detail on the PS Tech website in the terms of use and the legal section, but essentially it works like this. Where PS Tech is used in such a context, a business, a school, or a hospital, or anywhere else like that, a corporate license is needed, and that's obtainable from me. Now, either the business or the school itself needs to have it, or the therapist working on their behalf. For a school, it's very, very low priced indeed, and also for most businesses. But I'll explain why the corporate license is there in a minute. But a corporate license becomes payable after a trial period of 14 days. But if you're offering a free trial to a school for a month and you want to do that, then let me know and I'll probably be happy to extend it to something like a month, as I did for Mike. Now, if you work in such a capacity, you will need to get one, or the organisation which you're working for will. Now, this is because PS Tech has taken years of development work on my part. Things are set up in this way so that governments, businesses and other large organisations such as schools or colleges or councils can't just use my work wholesale without giving any recognition where it's due. Now, Mike, being the consummate professional that he is, has requested and been granted a corporate license from me for his work in this way. And so it's something to be aware of. If you do work in this in such a way, in those sorts of environments, then either you or the organisation you're working for does need one. But read the terms of use on the website. It's all laid out very, very clearly. It's not complicated, but it is important. Okay, with that said, and Mike wanted me to add that because it's probably easier for me to talk about it, I just want to say many, many, many thanks to Mike for such a wonderful tutorial. The work he's doing is amazing, and I think he's put together a wonderful tutorial about something which nobody else has talked about, and Mike's work is pathfinding. So I want to give a huge thank you to Mike for making this information available. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you to Mike once again.